the call of Abram. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive in his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore.
Nick, for leading through the service. As you came in this morning, you were confronted with lots of witnesses to the coming of Christ. The back, you've got the shepherds, Mary and Joseph. You go through to the other rooms, you've got the angels, you've got the wise men, all witnesses. And obviously, we've got the candles. We've got more witnesses, we've got the patriarchs, got the prophets, John the Baptist, Mary, and we've been singing a hymn, been reminding us that we're witnesses. We're witnesses as well. And so in this, over the weeks of Advent, we're going to be stirring us to the wonder of the Christmas story and our part as being a witness of Christ as well during this Advent period. So this morning we're going to be reflecting on Abraham. We've been reading about his faith, a little about his story, and it really is a challenge. It's a wonderful story. The promise of blessing that was spoken to Abraham all these years ago. And when we often know these chunks of stories, but it's always good to look at the context. And the context in Genesis is that promise of blessing. When you look at what happened earlier in the book of Genesis, the story of the unfolding story of God's creation and the events that took place afterwards, you really would be surprised that there would be a note of blessing. If you had reflected, if you'd read through the earlier chapters of Genesis. Chapters 68, we had the terrible wickedness of the earth had brought forth a judgment from God the Creator in the form of a worldwide flood. and only Noah and his three sons and wives, eight human beings, and the animals in the ark survived. However, God, in mercy, started again. It was like a new Eden, a new beginning after the flood. There was hope that things could be different. Then chapter 9 and chapter 10, God blesses Noah and his sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and the wives, and commanded them to be fruitful, to multiply, and to from Noah. From Noah and the sons, God was going to form the different people groups and nations of the earth. I think the sound is just gone. However, some of Noah's descendants, the name of one of them is mentioned in the reading, Nimrod, chapter 10. He didn't want to divide and fill the earth. They wanted to stay together. They wanted to build a mega city, a tower, ascending to heaven, to the glory of their creator. Sadly, no, for the purpose of making a name for themselves. It was an expression of autonomy, of rebellion against God. God was grieved by their attitude and actions and stopped the building project by confusing their language. Up until then, mankind had spoken a common language, but now they spoke different languages. The confusion of the languages brought about what God had previously desired. Remember the scattering of the nations. But it was a scattering in confusion and judgment, not from blessing. Such an outcome, scattering in judgment, makes the events of chapter 12 that we read this morning all the more surprising. We see God revealing his desire to bless all the nations of the world. What a merciful God. What a generous God. And such is God's mercy and generosity. He revealed his desire to bless the nations to a man called Abram, living in a nation called the Chaldeans, who were completely in the dark about the true and the living God. The Chaldeans were polytheists. They believed there was a God for everything, a God of war, a God of healing, a God of childbirth, of harvests, of journeys, a God of the sea, God of the sky, God of the wind, a God for the rain. Flocks and herds had their gods, as did mountains and rivers. But the main god they worshipped was the moon god, because he was the source of fertility for crops and herds and families. Amazingly, according to the first martyr in the New Testament, Stephen, in Acts 7, we hear these words: the God of glory appeared to an idol worshiper named Abraham. How merciful God is. How privileged Abraham was. And how privileged you are this morning. If you're a believer, before God revealed himself to you, the God of glory revealed himself to you, you were equally in dark about the true and the living God. You were worshiping created things rather than the Creator. For God to reveal himself to you, how merciful, how generous, how privileged you were. God gave Abraham an incredible promise. I will make you into a great nation and mightily bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So what a wonderful promise. Promise to mightily bless Abraham, make his name great, make him into a great nation. And then secondly, to greatly bless all the nations of the earth through him. It's not possible for anyone to receive a greater promise than what Abraham received. How mind-boggling. I'm sure it was. It seemed too good to be true for Abraham. All the more so because his wife Sarah was barren. How could he be made into a great nation? We see here what man was striving to achieve through the building of Babel, this tower, make a name for themselves, and failed. God promised to Abraham. We see here that God's ability to make us great is far greater than we can achieve for ourselves. To obtain that promise, God asked Abraham to do something incredibly challenging, to call them to leave his country, his people, his father's household, his polytheistic religion as well, and go to the land that God would show him in the future. How challenging. That would have been challenging for someone who was a mature believer in God, let alone someone who God had just revealed himself to. Believers here, how would we have responded to such a call from God? Abraham responded by faith, believing God's staggering promise, and obeyed God's command, albeit partially. He was prepared to leave his country, but not entirely. His father's household, chapter 11, indicates that Abraham's father, Terah, and his nephew Lot accompanied him. Lot's father, Haran, Abraham's older brother, must have died, leaving him in Terah's care. Either Abraham persuaded his father to accompany him, or Terah insisted that he and his grandson join them. Whatever, it was a deviation from what God had asked of him, to leave his family. And failing to make that break from his family was a hindrance to Abraham. And we see that much later with respect to Lot, his nephew. They eventually had to separate. They accumulated so much possessions between them that the land could not support them. And it was a source of quarreling. And they had to separate. And the choice Lot made for a new place to settle indicated that his priorities were different from Abraham's. It was likely to be a hindrance to him. So God brought about a separation for his good. And how true it is that God sometimes has to do the same for his people, for our good. Perhaps a relationship that's not right, or a place of work, or a harmful habit. God brings about a separation for our good. When Abraham and his family set out for Canaan and had traveled more than half of the distance, between 600 and 1,000 miles, they stopped and they settled and they put down roots in a place called Haran, where over a period of time they accumulated possessions and servants. The decision to stop and stay in Haran was possibly mainly his father's idea, because Abraham doesn't move on again until after his father's death. It may also be that his father took ill in Haran and was unable to make the journey to Canaan. Abraham was obliged to stay and look after him. Whatever the reason, the stay in Haran was hindered and postponed the outworking of God's promise in God's life still was going to be fulfilled. However, it was delayed for a period of time. And it's again a challenge to us. Have we allowed family ties to hinder us from following God, from obeying God? Have we stopped short of where God wants us to be in our commitment to Christ, or our obedience to His word, or baptism, or growth in Christ likeness, or service or witness? Have we stopped short? Have we settled into that position when God wants us to move on? God was gracious to Abraham, repeating his call and promise to him after the death of his father. And this time he obeyed fully. And they set out for Canaan, and we read that detail, and arrived there. Because many can set out, but not get there. And God can be gracious to us, giving us further opportunities to respond to Him. We saw that last week, looking at Mark, just at the end of Peter's letter, giving opportunities. Peter had that opportunity. God gives us opportunities. And if God has given you a second or a third chance to do something, to become a Christian, serve Him in some way, like Abraham, obey fully. And with God's help, Abraham and family finally arrived in Canaan, the land that God had promised him. And there God confirmed His promises to him, repeating them to him, making covenants which involved a name change. Abraham, he would become father of multitudes and nations. Sarah, her name meant princess. But they had to wait a long time for the fulfillment of the promises. And some of the promises were not fulfilled in their lifetime. 25 years had to pass before the promised child was born. And by that time, Abraham was 100. Sarah was 90, beyond the age of childbearing, as good as dead. But God fulfilled His promise, which brought them great laughter and joy. And that's what Isaac means. God assured Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the dust of the earth and the stars in the sky. And that came true, but not in his lifetime. His descendants were not only the people of Israel, but all those who exhibit a similar faith in God and His word of promise. Abraham is described as their father. Are you one of Abraham's offspring when it comes to faith? And as for possessing the land, over 400 years had to pass before this took place. At the time of Joshua, God promised Abraham that it would be the possession of his descendants forever. And Abraham took God at his word, and it came to pass. The promise of blessing to all the nations of the world through one of Abraham's offspring over 2,000 years had to pass. And that offspring was Jesus Christ, God's Son, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. We read these words in Matthew 1, verse 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. How incredible! and through the work of salvation that Jesus Christ accomplished in his coming. He made it possible for all the nations of the earth to be eternally blessed. That's why we don't just stop at the baby in the manger. That's why we have the arrows going over to the cross. That was the reason why he came. We shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And we read here, Jesus our Savior. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Christ came to provide blessing for all the nations of the world. The gospel went out to all creation under heaven. The gospel is still going out today. This is your part, my part. We're his witnesses as well for the message to go out that Jesus came to be our Savior. And he did that through what he did on the cross. So many just stop at the baby in the manger. Oh, how cute. How lovely. But the baby, there was a shadow of the cross over him. And we sometimes see that. Artists have portrayed that. The manger and a shadow of the cross. And how true that was. The baby came to die. And he died for us so that we can be eternally blessed. And that blessing can be yours today by receiving Christ as your Savior through exercising that faith that Abraham exercised. Faith in Christ and the sacrifice that he made. And if you have done so, how you should praise God. Praise God for the greatness of his mercy. How greatly blessed we are. And as you go through the lounge, through the Sunday school room, you'll see the angels. The story of God's sending his son into this world to be our Savior is glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And that should be our response as we think of the coming of Christ and what he would go on and accomplish for us. Glory to God in the highest. May we be stirred through this Advent period to be witnesses, that God would kindle that love for the Lord and awe and amazement that God in his mercy would come for us and would reveal himself and his plan of salvation to us. So let's be stirred to be people of praise and worship and light up this dark world that we're living in. We see the stars at the back. You're a witness. You can be like a star in the universe as you hold out the word of life.